Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, good to have all of you here today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Cheryl's got a praise report here.
We got this from John Ernst, and John is the man that they were going to cut his right leg off. He's about 36, 38 years old. He had two little kids, and he had cancer in his groin area, and they were going to cut off his leg. And so he came to from Minnesota to Des Moines with a family that has been following our church a long time. And so they brought him there. Thurman saw him in the hotel for about 30 minutes. Anyway, the last night when they came in on Friday, there was no seating, and they had to sit on the front. That's God's plan, you know. And so Thurman's going over all the scriptures that promises you that you will be healed. And then he would come back over to John and say, "Are you healed?" And he'd go, "Oh, you know," he couldn't, he said, he hadn't got it yet. And so he kept going back to him, reading the scriptures, and was it Matthew 18:19 when he got it? I don't know which one. He probably knows himself. Well, anyway, John finally got it. So when the service was over, he says to him, "Do you want me to pray for you first?" He said, "No, you've already prayed for me. I've got it." And we said, "Okay." So he goes back to the doctor, and the next week on Thursday, he calls here. He gets Kelly. Kelly was so excited. And it ends up that he was cancer-free. They did not cut his leg off.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, he is a big warrior for Christ now. And so he's always, anybody he sees that has cancer, he is after him. So this lady, her name is Dr. Miller Rutt, she had already gone through chemo and radiation. I can't remember what her cancer was. I'll think of it. It might have been breast cancer, but it already spread. It was in the bone and the lungs, going to the brain. You know, she was a mess. She was already, she's fixing now. We're real close to her. I think we were in Fort Wayne, Indiana, now that I remember it. Okay, that's where we were. And he kept telling her, "Go there." And she says, "Oh, I got to go to this oncologist in Chicago." He says, "No, go there. Go there." She comes. And she comes up, and I think that's what she had. She had cancer.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember her husband was with her. Ah, and you know what the sin was? Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. The husband had unforgiveness against his brother. That was the sin, and it wasn't breast cancer. It was some other kind of cancer. It might have been lung. But anyway, like I said, already gone lung, bones, going to the brain. She's pretty well had it. You know, she doesn't have much time left. And that's why she was going to go to the second oncologist. And so the husband repents. It was his sin. Everything, they saw it. They got it. And everybody repented. But okay, so this is from John. He says, "Donna Miller Rutt just texted me to tell me that her CEA blood test cancer markers are down." meaning her cancer is shrinking or receding. Thank you, God. And then he had I guess it was last week, he asked us would we pray for a man named Al Bates who had cancer also. And so he had his MRI yesterday with results coming this afternoon, and he said, "My praise report with Al is that he proclaimed out loud in a Bible study group setting that he is already healed. Myself and three others have stopped asking for healing and decided instead to just praise and worship the King." He says, "Thank you, John Ernst."
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Praise
the
Lord.
So in other words, Al's believing. That's what he's trying to tell you. Okay, you can tell that Christmas has arrived, right? Yeah. And Brenda Rhodes, Ronnie and Catherine Rhodes' mother, did all the decorating. Where's Brenda? Stand up, Brenda. Just stand up. All you can do is stand up. Give Brenda a big hand. She decorated the outside, the inside, and got up on a 12-foot ladder. She's very brave. Anyway, so Christmas is here. And the reason Christmas is here is because if I don't start October the 1st, I can't make it. I only have 10 weeks to do what I do. Well, as you can see this little yellow sheet, last year, God provided $173,650. Praise God. Clap.
Amen. $173,650.
We bought Christmas for 11,942 children, teen moms, elderly, 220 needy families, and we provided Christmas dinner for 133 homeless over at Our Daily Bread. It's a Lutheran church in Denton. So God went way.
Amen.
He went way far above anything I've ever done, and you can tell just by the total of everything. You look, I mean, the first year we only raised $16,000, and last year's $173,650. I mean, God's awesome. He can do anything. I had no idea He was going to do that, and I had actually no idea that 12,000 people and families were going to get touched. I had no idea, and I don't even know how it happened. I didn't know I could shop that much. So, you know,
amen.
I mean,
amen,
praise the Lord. Of course, Thurman knows
God,
I can.
God's running the show.
He is. Oh, that is true. He is.
Yeah, he's running the show.
And that is every year when in fact, Christ Haven has already called me 4 times. They're ready. They're on go. They're set. And they said, I will have the Christmas list today, probably tomorrow, but anyway, I'm going to have it. So I have 10 weeks. I buy Christ Haven's children, those are abused, neglected children, and it's just awful. I don't want to even tell you the stories. And the teen, sometimes I tell you, but most of the time they're pretty yucky. And the teen moms, you know, they're like 14, 15, 16 years old with little babies. And so we buy for them first. Then I go and buy for bulk. I do, and I take their wish list, okay? And they also want 75 season passes from Six Flags over Texas, which we get that every year also. Then I go by for Salvation Army in Denton. I go by for Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange that services Colleyville, Southlake, and Grapevine. And they have about 2,700 to 3,000 children, and they have like 2,700 families. And then Salvation Army in Denton has at least 3,000 children or families. And then I also do Justin Community Clothes Closet here in Justin. They have every month 3,000 people come through to get clothes. They never had toys, new toys, until we gave them new toys 4 years ago. I get from the Dallas Children's Charities, they give me toys every year. It started out with 40, then 75, then 125. Then last year they gave us 642 new toys. And yes, and they bless us so much. I contact the man and I fill out all the paperwork, and he lets me be the first one down there. We bring a trailer and all Dave and all his kids and the Smiths and all the kids, and we go down there. And I mean, you wouldn't have believed the amount of sacks of toys we get. And then we come out here in the parking lot and we separate them. We separate them by Legos or by dolls or by, you know, games, whatever. And then we determine how many that Salvation Army is going to get, how many that Grace is going to get, and how many Justin's going to get. Justin tells me, I think last year they wanted 350 toys, so the majority, of course, went to them. And she told me, and they even had a special day for the toy giveaway. She said that afterwards that people came up to her and said, I did not know how I was going to have Christmas until you did this for us. And, you know, it's just God. And so after Christmas, we also had a family that came through Morocco, our daughter-in-law. She contacted me because a family had received, okay, the brother had received his young brother, 11 years old. They had 3 children. I think she was pregnant. He was taken from the father. CPS took him from the father for abuse. And, of course, the only family was this older brother, and he took him. But they had no money for Christmas because they were kind of tight as far as finances. And so we bought him Christmas, bought him school, because he came with nothing but, I think, just a bag, you know, and it didn't have any clothes, didn't have, he just went from CPS finally to them, or went out of the home, you know, to CPS. And that happens a lot of time. Even the kids over at Christ Haven, they don't have anything when they get there a lot of times. They're just the clothes on their back. So we bought him son. Then we had another family that the mother had left the family, and we ended up buying them school clothes, for a week's worth of school clothes for 3 kids, and they were blessed. And so God just does what He wants to do. And so it's pretty exciting. If you haven't ever been to one of these, you need to mark your calendar for December the 11th. It's a Monday from 5 to 7. Anybody that wants to come can come. You come help us to put, we have about 1,000 wrap presents that we have in the library, and we gather all those in sacks. We put them in their 24-foot truck. We take them over there, and then we put all the presents out, and then the staff or whoever decides to come that day, they help serve the children. We feed them, and the lady at Paradise Cove, we've known her for many years, and now she provides the food. We used to do that, but now she has staff and they provide the food. So we serve them as all the kids come through, and then the staff for Christ Haven. And then after that, then we present the executive director with the gifts of free tickets I get from Putt-Putt. Putt-Putt is like, if y'all know the guy at Putt-Putt, go see him and tell him he's great. He is, for the last 16 years, has given us free tickets to Putt-Putt. And I just think, what a blessing, you know, somebody to have that kind of an open heart, that he gives me hundreds of dollars of free Putt-Putt tickets. Anyway, so, and they get to do that during the year, because they don't get to do anything. Unless we give them something special, they don't get to go do anything. They did contact me earlier this year and said, you know, hey, would you finance this or finance that? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to change what I'm doing, but I will send you some money. So we sent them $4,500 for extracurricular activities, like, you know, somebody that's a cheerleader or in the choir, they need something special. So we sent that to them. So far, I've got raised almost $12,000. That's where I'm starting. And like I say, I start buying Monday. That's what I start. I got to. If I don't do it, it doesn't get done. So if anybody would like to help, if you want to give a check or a cash donation, just write Children of Christmas on it. I'm sure that, Paula Sue, are you going to make cakes this year?
I'm going to make lemon pound cakes and cream cheese pound cakes.
Ooh. Oh, the lemon pound cakes and the cream cheese pound cakes. I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all hadn't had one, woo, y'all are missing something. So all you have to do is order them with her and tell her what you want. We have, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, that you may want something special like that. You just give her whatever amount of money you want to give her, and then she gives it to the kids. And yeah, she gives it to the church, but it goes to the kids. It goes into that total, as well as I think Kelly's going to make some jewelry, some beaded jewelry, and we'll probably have it inside there on the table. So we last year, all the Solomon girls, they sold hair clips. I don't know if they're going to do anything this year or not, but they raised, I think, several hundred dollars for us last year just by selling hair clips. So anything you want to give from your heart is appreciated. God appreciates it. We appreciate it. And it makes life really easy, so I don't have to spend my Social Security before I have the money. I gotta keep the balance right, you know. I go, well, I can still buy some more because I can put my money in there, you know. You know how I am, honey.
Yes, I know how you are.
But, you know, we've never been short. And I would have never, you couldn't have, I would have never said that we were going to raise $173,650. I mean, that's just like, that's out of the park. God hit a triple, quadruple home run. I mean, wow. Anyway, absolutely. So thank you again for any support. If anybody needs Brenda Rhodes to come decorate their house, well, she's for hire. And she also cleans houses if you need a cleaner. She does that too. So she did a great job. Give Brenda a hand. Love all the decorations, and appreciate all her effort on the church's behalf.
Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a real reason. You know, some people have never seen Jesus do nothing. I mean, literally. You know, they've never seen a healing, never seen a miracle, never seen an answer to prayer. So some of those people never give nothing to God because they don't know He's a giving God. They don't know how the principles of the kingdom work. So they never get blessed. But this woman over here, she'd been sick for 20 years. 20 years. And she started coming out here. Miss Betty directed her out here. She came out here and started listening to what we teach here. And I think Mike and Gracie was the ones that prayed for you, I believe. This prayer team right over here, they prayed for this woman right here. And this woman, after 20 years of sickness and pain, yes, got healed. Yes. And she's not had any more problems since then. So she can make these cakes and give them back knowing that she's giving to a king that answers prayer. Yes. And she's getting a blessing. And that's what it was. And he blessed you when he healed you, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Boy, I'm telling you. Well, you know, I've had some people write in and say things and call and everything. And all of you that have been coming here, you notice I seem to be having a little shaking with my hands. Well, here a while back, I was talking to a prophet up in Ohio. And I said, Iowa, yeah, Iowa. I said, what do you think is causing the shaking in my hands? So he asked the Lord, and he came back and he called me back and said, the Lord told me he's increasing your anointing. That's what he's doing. Okay. That's absolutely fantastically wonderful. Now, I got that from a prophet of God, a man that serves God. And then a little later, I've had several people talk about my hand shaking that I need to go see a doctor. Well, folks, let me tell you, I know the best doctor in the world. He's on my team or I'm on his team. I don't know which way you want to call it. But I know him and I know him very well, praise the Lord. And so I know what his word says and the whole nine yards. So after this prophet told me that God was increasing my anointing, I thought about Smith Wigglesworth. You know, you think about this and you think, you know, this doesn't make sense. Surely God would never do anything like that. Then I think about Smith Wigglesworth, was a great anointed man of God from England. And in his later years, he started having kidney stones. He could go and preach and see God heal people and bless people, and just like me and Cheryl do. We go and pray, my hand shaking, you know, but I'm out there praying for people. I've seen children healed and all kinds of miracles. But God's still doing what he's doing. And then Smith Wigglesworth, he would come home, his son-in-law said, after he would preach, he'd come home and lay down on the bed and he'd be in excruciating pain. And he'd pass kidney stones as he passed blood and kidney stones. And this scenario went on in his life for 5 years. Everybody said, go to a doctor, go have him cut out. He said, this body belongs to the Lord. It's not mine. He'll fix it. But nobody's going to put a knife on my body. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to let God take care of my body. You know, it doesn't matter what he does. If though he slay me, I'm going to serve him. But ain't nobody going to put no knife on this body. 5 years later, after hundreds of kidney stones passed by Smith Wigglesworth, God brought him out on the top side and put an anointing on him. And from that day until that man died, it made no difference who he prayed for or what it was he prayed for, including raising people from the dead. Everybody he prayed for got healed. Everybody. So, you know, if that's what it takes, if the anointing, that took that anointing for that to come up on Smith Wigglesworth. So anyway, after my shaking and everything, and several people have seen me shaking, several people want me to go. Finally, here a while back, I let a good pastor friend of mine talked me into going to a doctor. He said, Thurman, you got to go to a doctor. I said, look, sir, I know the best doctor in the world. He said, I want you to go. I said, okay, for you, I'll go. Let's see what he says. So we went to see a doctor. And as we looked, the doctor said, well, I need to do some blood work. I said, okay. So Cheryl and I came home. We went over here to this place they told us to go, and they drew a little bit of blood out of my arm and a little bit out of hers. And right there, when they drew that blood out, I told her, I said, honey, this goes against everything I believe. I have been a faith teacher all my life. I believe God's a healer. I believe I don't need no blood work done. And the lady said, well, we'll send it in and they'll do all the analysis on it and everything, and then they'll contact you and make an appointment. I told her when I walked out of the office, I said, I am never going to another doctor. I have said this before and I'm still going to back it up. She called the doctor's office and we owe them $3,000 for just taking the blood work. I said, that really affirms to me why I ain't going to a doctor. I'm going to have to pay $3,000. And I told him, I don't want the results. I don't care what your results is. I know what the word says. The word clearly says that however I believe, that's what's going to be. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. If Matthew 8:13 says, as I have believed, well, I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe he's already healed me on the cross. I believe just like that tie I got that's got the nail in it. Paid in full. He paid that in full 2,000 years ago, and I'm going to receive that. So I just told Cheryl, I said, well, when they send us the bill, and that's what she said it was going to be, $3,000.
You paid $1,000 to cancel the appointment.
Yeah, and I paid $1,000 to cancel the appointment. So anyway, I made a teaching one time about be careful what preacher you listen to. So I'm going to tell you, I'm very careful from this day forth. You can write me all the things you want to. You can see my hand shake. You can do whatever you want to. You can praise God with me. But if I can guarantee and assure you that I've had my last visit to a doctor. You know, I'm not going. I don't care what they say. If somebody says, in fact, have you ever heard this story? If you don't let us do surgery on you by tomorrow, you will be dead. This man I was telling you about a while ago, Smith Wigglesworth, a woman called him one day and asked him to come over and pray over her husband. He had a kidney attack, a ruptured appendix. He went over there and he went upstairs and he prayed over the man and laid hands on him. He come downstairs and she said, would you like to have a cup of tea before you go? And he said, yes, ma'am, that would be nice. I'll have a cup of tea with you. So in the meantime, the doctors, two doctors showed up and they went up. Of course, this is way back yonder when the doctors used to make house calls. They don't hardly do that no more. But anyway, these two doctors went upstairs and they looked at him and they came downstairs and told the lady, said, ma'am, we've got to take your husband to the hospital right now. He has a ruptured kidney. And if we don't do surgery on him tonight, he'll be dead in the morning. So she was kind of rattled, and she looked at the man of God. She said, what do I do? He said, did you ask me to come pray for your husband? She said, yes. He said, do you believe God answers prayer? She said, yes. He said, then you can tell these two doctors they can go home. You don't need them. Now, you talk about faith. That's either stupidity or faith. So the doctors kept telling her, ma'am, you got to let us take him. There's no time to spare. The man says, it's your choice, ma'am. If you let them have him, he will die, I guarantee. If you believe God, God will heal your husband. So she told the doctors, I'm sorry, y'all can go. I'm going to believe the man of God. Everybody thought she was a fool. That's exactly what you see today. Anytime you see somebody that tries to walk by faith, they think you're crazy, don't they, Franz?
Yes, they do.
They think you're crazy because you're trying to stand on God's mighty word. That's why nobody gets much from God. Nobody believes him. We go by what we see. We don't go by what's written. The word of God clearly tells us, as we believe, so shall it be done for me. As I believe. So what am I going to believe?
God's word.
This young lady right here, her and her husband went to Florida. They have a relative that was dying, that was in hospice, and said it's over. And whenever they got the results that the cousin or relative, whatever it was dying, she told her husband, said, you know, honey, we sat here and listened to Thurman's teaching about how we can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. And we never do anything, so she said, let's go to Florida. Let's fly down there and go in and lay hands on this cousin and expect God to heal that person. Now, here's a woman and her husband that's either really believe or they're crazy. They're going to buy an airplane ticket. They're going to go to Florida. They're going to go down there and believe that God says, lay hands on the sick and they'll do what?
They'll be healed.
They'll be healed. My God, you're a crazy woman. You know that? But they bought them an airplane ticket. And they flew to Florida. And they went to the house where hospice house. She was already in hospice. Laid hands on the woman and prayed for her. And I think it was the next day or the day after that she was out of the hospice eating, right? Live for seven more months.
Nobody ever came out of hospice. Nobody.
Nobody ever came out of hospice, but one did.
That's right.
But why did the one came out?
Because the Lord.
Because you believed.
Yes.
You.
But the Lord told me.
Oh, yeah, the best part of it, I forgot. When she walked in and saw her relative in hospice that looked so awful. Oh, my goodness gracious, and your faith began to go away.
Went down. That's what happened.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And the Lord.
He told me, he said, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He was dead 4 days, and she he's not dead yet.
Isn't it amazing that Jesus, the Lord, spoke to her and told her, said, don't worry about what you're looking at, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus raised him from the dead. So he said, this woman's not dead. She's still alive. This, in other words, this one's going to be a piece of cake. Is that right?
That's right.
You know, that's amazing how that Jesus can write these wonderful things. Just, in fact, let's look at it. Matthew 8:13. I want you to look at that scripture, Matthew 8:13. This is a very important scripture. The story that's being shown or read here in Matthew chapter 8 was this man as a servant that needs to be healed, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him what to do, and he says he will go over and he'll pray for him, and he said, sir, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but if you will just say the word, my boy will be healed. I know if you will only speak the word. Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all Israel. Now, as you have believed, so shall it be done for you. What does Matthew 8:13 say?
And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Now, let me tell you when I was healed. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, I was healed.
Amen.
He paid in full. You were healed right there at the same time.
Amen.
If you believe it, it'll come to pass. Because look at Matthew 8:16-17. Right, just right down the page, just a little bit. Matthew 8:16-17. What does Matthew 8:16-17 say, hon?
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick.
Okay, and if he cast them all out and then he healed all of them that were sick, that includes you and me.
Yes.
Right there, Jesus bore mine and your sickness, just like Isaiah 53:4-5 says, he bore our sickness, he removed our disease, and healed us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now, all you got to do is believe. It don't make any difference if your hand's shaking. I mean, to me, I could care less that whether my hands are shaking or they're not shaking. But if this is something, if God is that prophet, I said, why after a prophet, a man of God that I've known for 10 years at least, maybe longer, when a man of God tells me something that come right out of the Word of God, why do I believe something else instead of what he said? I'm a human being. Unfortunately, I'm a human being. I hate to say that, but I still am flesh and blood. And flesh and blood can doubt. And God is not a doubt me God. You know, he's not a doubt me God. You know, I mean, he wants you to believe with no doubt in your heart. In fact, he says, you have to believe with no doubt in your heart. Is that what it says, friends?
And
me and you know that works, don't we?
Absolutely.
And we've seen that work on you a few times, haven't we?
Sure have.
I'm telling you, that's just like when you think about that here, friends, that afternoon that my phone rang, Cheryl and I just come back from having dinner with a couple. And all of a sudden, my phone rang and his friends, and he said, Thurman, I got a growth under my tongue, a tumor. He said, it's come up here and it looks awful. And he said, I'm thinking, my goodness, this is the end of my life. I got to get my stuff together. I got to find me a good doctor and see what they say. And then he said, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I sat out in Thurman's church and listened to him teach the Word of God and talk about all these powerful things that God does all the time. And now I come under some tests, and what's the first thing I'm going to do? Get my house in order and go find me a doctor. He said, I ain't doing that no more. I'm going to call Thurman and have him pray for me. That's what I'm going to do. So he called me, and he told me what the problem was. I said, okay. I said, friends, have you repented of all your sins? He said, I have. So I said, okay, me and Cheryl, we're going to remit our sins. Then this couple that was with us in the car with us, I said, I'm going to remit their sins. I said, now we're going to remit everybody's sins, and we're going to ask the Lord to wash all of us in the blood of Jesus. Now, if he washes all of us in the blood of Jesus, how clean are we? Oh, man, we're spotless. And when he washes us in the blood, we are spotless. So anyway, after we did that, then I said, okay, now then, we're going to take the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:19. Look at that. We put Matthew 18:19 on the board, and I want you to see what that says. What does Matthew 18:19 say?
I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth of touching anything
that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if that really worked?
Oh, it sure does. And it really does.
It really does work, huh?
Amen.
You know, we do not treat that like it works, do we? Most of the time, people don't. But I told friends, I said, man, friends, we're going to agree on Matthew 18:19. It says, if just two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it. So I prayed and asked the Lord to take that thing away. I said, fix it. Take it away, no tumor, it's gone, and the Lord just do it right now, and I want to thank you and praise you. I said, friends, you're healed, guarantee it. God made the promise, it's a done deal. I said, I'll see you in church tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I was sitting back there on the back, sitting there doing something, and friends walks in, runs over there, sits down beside me, puts his arm around me, kisses me on the cheek, said, Pastor, you really know how to make God work. Ain't that what you did, friends? Well, you were completely healed, wasn't you? Absolutely completely healed. We serve in this church a living God. A God that does what he says. A God that heals. It doesn't make it what he looks like. If we'd have went by what we looked at, of course, I didn't see this, but he did. But he told me, said, Thurman, this thing looks awful in my mouth. And it did, didn't it? But we don't care what it looks like, do we? I mean, there ain't nothing hard for God. I mean, nothing's hard for God. I mean, absolutely nothing. All you got to do is believe. Now then, he loves for you and me to believe. If you don't believe, James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Look at what happens in James 1, 6 and 7 when you do not believe. Somebody says, God, surely God would never do that. Look at this.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
If you don't believe with no doubt in your heart, what are you going to get from God?
Nothing.
So you see why I told Cheryl the other day, I shouldn't have never went as far as I went. But I'm trying to be nice to a couple of pastor friends of mine. And they're enticing me, but just like I said, you got to be careful what preacher you listen to. Sometimes even your friends will lead you down the wrong path. You know, they go by what they see. You know, I mean, yeah, it is amazing. You know, so my hands are shaking, my hands are trembling. I'm still standing up walking. You know, at least I'm not down on the floor crawling yet, you know, so. But it wouldn't make any difference. I'm still healed. I was healed on that cross 2,000 years ago, and the God that we come to, we know he heals, don't we, friends?
Absolutely.
He had just done it for you, but he's done it for you several times, hadn't he? He is a healing God. So why is it that we fall off the wagon so quick? Matthew 17:20. I want you to look at this story where the boys were trying to cast out a demon of spirit. Matthew 17:20. Actually, I'll start back a couple of verses before that.
Okay, 18 then?
Yeah.
Back up to 18.
Yeah, why could we not heal?
They asked why they couldn't heal. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour.
Okay.
Then came the disciples to Jesus' apart and said, why could not we cast him out?
You know, shouldn't we ask that question once in a while?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus told us, the church, did he tell us, the church, to lay hands on the sick and they will get well?
Yeah.
So why don't we do it? Why do we totally, flatly disobey what God says. I think the church, every time that we hear something, I mean, whenever something's wrong with us, instead of going over and saying, let me lay hands on the sick or let me pray for you. I mean, that one you just read there, Kim, about if two of us on earth agree about anything. Any couple could use that, right?
Absolutely.
One wife and one husband.
Yes.
One wife and one daughter.
Yep, anybody.
Any two of you that are believers in Jesus should be able to use it. But why in the world is it with all these awesome promises do we not believe? What is the problem? Why?
Unbelief.
In other words, if I happen to go up here and lay hands on somebody and say, you know, even my shaking hands, I'm going to lay hands on you, brother.
Healed.
That's what he said, wasn't it?
Yes,
if there was anything wrong with you, you're healed. Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
So if we lay hands on you, you're healed, right?
Healed.
Now then, if I lay hands on him, he says he's healed, and then I turn to walk off, and he says, oh, God, I sure hope that works. is that what we do, Tony? And when we do that, guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But anyway, after they drew the blood out of my arm, that's the first time in 30, 40 years I had anybody take any blood out of me other than when I scratched myself or do something. But when they took that blood, I thought, what am I doing here in this office setting down here letting this little girl that I don't know take some of my blood? What am I doing here?
Where's your faith?
Yeah, where is your faith? I can just see the Lord sitting up there saying, do you not believe me anymore? What is your problem? Can't you see that, Tony? I mean, especially for me, all the people he's healed for me, the people I've laid hands on and prayed for, the hundreds, the thousands, you would think by this time, surely I got it. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
But you see what happens when you're still a human being and you listen to other people. Please don't listen to nobody else. Learn to listen to the Word of God only.
Amen.
Don't listen to nothing but God's Word. When you listen to God's Word, like I said, I told Cheryl, we were over there in Denton, and that little girl drew that blood out of my arm, drew the blood out of her arm, and I said, in fact, there was a little kid came in there. They had to draw some blood out of him, too. And he was physically messed up. I don't know whether he was, I don't know what was wrong with him, but he's never going to have a normal chance. He was screaming at the top of his, when they stuck that little needle in him to draw the blood, he was screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah, two women had to hold him down to draw that blood. And I thought, Lord, people that don't know you and your healing power, this is what they have to go through with their children. I said, if they only knew you and could pray in faith, you wouldn't need all this nonsense. You could just pray and get it done. So I said, Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. I repent right here. I said, Lord, forgive me. I can't believe I'm in this place. So anyway, we got up and told the lady we were leaving. So she said, well, we'll send this blood to this doctor, whoever it was. I said, don't worry about it. They said, well, we've already drawn it. Now we got to do this. So I said, well, okay. So anyway, whenever we got home, I told Cheryl, I said, call that doctor's office and cancel that appointment because I ain't going. Guarantee. She said it's going to cost you $1,000 to cancel it. I said, that's okay. I still ain't going. And she said it's going to cost you $3,000 from the run of samples on the test. I said, that's okay. I don't want it. Tell them don't send it to me. I don't want it. I don't care what it says. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I was healed on the cross 2,000 years ago. If I know I'm healed, why I need a blood work done?
Amen.
I don't. And so that's my last time. I messed up. I'll just be here to tell y'all, I made a mistake. I listened to the wrong man. And I went and spent $4,000 to do something stupid.
Boy, I could have bought a lot of shoes.
Do you know some of you in this room made that same mistake, haven't you? Huh? Some of you have done the same thing. Some of you have been to see the doctor too, haven't you? So don't you laugh at me.
No, we're not.
You're laughing with me, huh? Yeah, she should have bought a lot of shoes for $4,000. We could have bought a whole bunch of those Psalm 91 cards for $4,000. We could have done all kinds of things. But, you know, I just want you to know, when you see me walking around in here and that my hands are still shaking, I'm going to believe what the prophet said.
Amen.
And not what that doctor. Of course, I don't know what that doctor said because I didn't ask him nothing. But the prophet that told me that God, he went to the Lord and asked the Lord why I was shaking. And the Lord told him that I'm increasing Thurman's anointing.
Amen.
And he called me and told me he's increasing my anointing. Well, the other day, I had a pastor from Tennessee call me. He said, Thurman, I got to tell you, my wife had a dream about you last night. I said, oh? I said, what was the dream about? He said, my wife woke up crying this morning. And I said, what's wrong? She said, I had a dream about Pastor Thurman. He said, what about? What happened? She said, I saw God put a special anointing upon him, and all the wounded warriors that had arms and legs missing that he touched, God put new arms and legs on them in the dream. Can we handle that kind of an anointing? I think so. Now, that's the kind of preachers I want to listen to. When one of them called me and said, hey, and I think he was a Baptist too, by the way. So his wife, he's the one that he talked to me one time. He's the one that said he wanted to see God do some things. He said, I listened to your stuff and I've never, ever seen anybody that got to see God do the things you see him do. He said, I don't know anybody that does that. I said, you know why you don't see him? He said, why? I said, you don't ask. I said, God is a faith God. And if you don't ask, you won't get nothing from him.
Right.
I said, he expects you, when you ask for something, you must ask in faith, believing with no doubt in your heart, and with thanksgiving. He wants to be thanked up front. So anyway, he called me a little before this. This was before this happened. He said, the other night we were getting ready to leave the church. And he said there was a elder in my church that was having trouble making a turn in the road. And he said, I went on by and says, in a little while, he called me on my cell phone and says, Pastor, he said, Robert, I've run off the culvert at the church. And he said, okay, I'll be right back. And he said, okay. So he said, I think my car is severely damaged. So anyway, he said, I went back up there, and so there was his car. He'd missed the road and run off the culvert, and it's about 6 feet deep, and he run in and hit the wall of the bridge creek on the other side with the front bumper, just total crushed the whole front end of the car. And it hit so hard that it actually bent the frame on the car. So Robert says, when I got there looking, I said, Lord, we got to have some help. Why is it we ask that, not really believing that he's going to help? But, you know, start asking in faith. I mean, when you have a need, say, Lord, we need some help. Is he there to help?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He's always there to help. So, and he'll help you as long as you stay in faith. When you get out of faith, he won't help no more. But anyway, whenever he said, Lord, we got to have some help, he said, all of a sudden I saw this beautiful white wrecker shining coming right down the road. And he pulled up and stopped. And he says, I said, who are you? He said, well, you said you needed some help. So he said, I come to help you. He said, I thought, how did this guy get this information? I just spoke it into the air. How in the world can you get that kind of information to somebody so quick? So he said, well, we need to probably call a couple more wreckers and with a crane or something because we need to get this car out of this ditch. He said, the guy was dressed in a regular working clothes. He walked down in the ditch, reached up and grabbed the car like this and picked the car up, turned it around, and set it down on the road. Now, most of you in here that heard that, if you hadn't heard that before, you think, Thurman's lost his mind. But this is exactly what he told me. And he said, that he said, I'm standing there, and the two young boys that had driven up there to help us, he said, they looked at me, and as I looked at him, and I said, did you boys see what I saw? They said, well, sir, we thought we saw that guy pick up that car. Why is it we can't live in the supernatural? Why is it that we're so dense we can't believe that God can do in beyond your wildest imagination? Because that's who he is. So anyway, he said, well, wow. He said, so anyway, he said, sir, the angel or whoever the guy was said, sir, you can get in your car and go home. It's okay. And the pastor said, but no, sir. He said, the whole front end of the car, and he was bent, and even behind the seat on the car, it busted the doors open when it hit in there, and that's bent. He said, no, look at the car. It's okay. Robert said, I get up there, and I walk up there, and I walk all the way around that car and look at it. He said, there's not a bent place on that car. Nowhere. That's when I said, you know, God's got the best body shop in town. He can do things like that with a car, can he, friends?
Yeah, undoubtedly he can.
Yeah. He sure can. So anyway, the deacon got in his car, and the record driver told Robert, the pastor, said, I'll follow him home. When he got home, turned in, the record went on up the road, and then the deacon looked, and the record was completely gone. So he called Robert and told him, said, that guy followed me all the way home, and then when I got home, turned in the driveway, he disappeared. I don't know what happened. But why is it that we look at something like that, and most of us would never be able to get something like that magnificent done, because you don't believe that it can be possible. I mean, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. Just like that day that Dave and I was flying back from the Shreveport in the 421, we come into the Dallas Metroplex, and as we're coming along there, it's a beautiful night, and all of a sudden the controller says, 2957 Quebec, your frequency plane change approved. He said, you go ahead and you're cleared to land over Denton. Ain't nobody over there. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. So I said, okay, frequency plane approved, and flipped over. We got along there just a little ways. I lowered the landing lights. We're doing about 170 miles an hour, something like that. And all of a sudden I see all this white, and I said, Dave, what was that? I said, is there fog out there or clouds, or what do we got here? So anyway, he looked at Denton. He said, Pastor, Denton is showing zero visibility and ceiling. There's a dense, heavy, dense fog. He said, you want me to line you up for an ILS approach into Alliance? And I said, no. If we go into Alliance, then I got to find somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning to come get me. Then tomorrow I got to bring somebody back over here, and I got to take the airplane on flight back to Northwest. I said, no, we're going to land at Northwest. He said, Pastor, it's 0-0. I said, Dave, we serve a great big God. So I said, Father, I looked at my GPS screen. I said, in 3 miles, I'm going to be turning left into the airport. I need you, when I turn in, to open me a clear tunnel from the airplane nose right to the end of the runway, and right over the end of the runway, I need it clear. I said, thank you, Father, it's done in Jesus' name. I made that turn, and just as I lined up with that runway riding straight ahead of me, about a mile by a mile tunnel, just square, I could see the lights on the runway at the end, is just perfect. I went right over that, and remember, I need the clear visibility to the end of the runway. So I got to the end of the runway. I'm about 10 feet off the ground. And as I pass right over the end of the runway, the minute I pass over the end of the runway, the fog is right back in front of me. Just solid, solid fog. I asked for it to be clear to the end of the runway. It was clear to the end of the runway. You get exactly what you asked for in faith. I went ahead and let it go down. I was only 10 feet off the ground. Touchdown, taxied down there, taxied around, come back to the hangar. We got the airplane in the hangar, got everything locked up. But Cheryl got in the car, and I thought I was going to have to walk along beside the car to find a road to get out of the airport. It was that thick. You couldn't see anything. When we got out of there and got home, Dave said, Pastor, he said, I was there tonight, and I saw what I saw. But he said, I want to make a statement to you. He said, you know a God that I don't know exists. He said, I would never have dreamed about asking God to do what you ask Him to do and then expecting Him to do it. But will He do it?
Yes.
If you ask in faith, what's impossible with the King?
Nothing.
Absolutely right. Nothing. We need to start thinking like that. You know, this is the time and the seasons that we're in right now. We are in the last days of the feast. God's feast. We just went through Rosh Hashanah. We're just into the days of Yom Kippur. And the 10 days of awe. And now we're fixing to go into booths. It's got several names, you know, but anyway, booths is one of the names of the feast. But all kinds of things happen around these feasts. In the beginning was Passover and unleavened bread, and the Holy Ghost came on, I can't even think of the name of it, Pentecost. We are right in the middle of those things. In fact, the other day on Rosh Hashanah, I was sitting up waiting with great anticipation during the 48-hour day of Rosh Hashanah that this year, since everything is lining up, and Jesus said, just before my return, all of these signs will happen. Have you ever seen as many signs as you've seen this year? I mean, I've never heard of 185-mile-an-hour winds being sustained for days. I never heard of that kind of stuff. I never heard of earthquakes 8, 7, and 6, 7, and 8, and 9 like Mexico had. You know, I mean, huge fires in California. They're burning down houses and buildings and stuff and forest up in Montana. And it doesn't make it where you go. Doesn't make it where you go. There's some kind of devastation. I mean, just like in Puerto Rico. You know, Puerto Rico, I mean, it virtually two hurricanes back to back wiped the place out. Have you ever heard of such things? So if Jesus said, just before my return, all these things are going to happen. Well, I got news for us. It might not be very long till He shows up. And my question to you is, are you ready? Are you ready? And because if you're not ready, if you stay here and He doesn't take you away, if the rapture does occur, and of course, I believe it could happen any time, but now that we've passed Rosh Hashanah, I kind of believe it will be on a Rosh Hashanah, so we may have a little reprieve for another year. But I may be wrong. I'd hate to tell you that, I guarantee it's going to come on Rosh Hashanah, the rapture, and we just went through Rosh Hashanah, we just missed it. It's 2 24-hour days, 48 hours, and we just missed it last week. So if we missed it, then we guarantee you got another year before it comes again. So we got another year before the rapture occurs. So you think, well, I can go out and do what I want to do. I'm safe for a year. And then you find out that Thurman was wrong, and it happened tomorrow. You better be ready, right? So you got to listen to what kind of preachers you're listening to, because some of them's not right. I've already found that out. Some of us are not right. I remember a good friend of mine. They were using a nail gun one day. He's good. He was a really good worker. And they were out here building a little building, and he was nailing nails, and he nailed a nail, and the nail went into the knee of his, I forget which leg, left or right knee. But anyway, the knee shot plumb up to the head in his knee. Now, that doesn't even sound good, does it? He reached over and grabbed that knee and that nail, and he jerked that thing out and began to scream, "There will be no pain in the name of Jesus." Amen. Who in the world would think that you could say, Mark 11:23 clearly says, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you're going to have it, right?
Yes.
Whatever you believe. So whatever you say with your mouth. So he said, I will have no pain in that knee in the name of Jesus. And he jerked that nail out, and there was absolutely no pain whatsoever. So he said, okay, let's go back to work. Somebody said, no, let's go to the doctor. He said, no, I'm okay. I got the best doctor in the world. His name's Jesus. So I say, there's no pain. My knee's not damaged. I'm okay. So the three or four Christian boys that were out there with him, they finally said, okay, let's go to work. So they went back to work. And they're nailing and they're doing all kinds of stuff and they're working. He said, walking, no pain, everything's great. Well, they work till 5 or 6 o'clock as they get ready to leave. They was working on the church. So when they get ready to leave, they start to go by, and one of the boys said, hey, why don't you tell the pastor what happened to your knee? Oh, yeah, he said, I shot a nail in my knee, and he said, but I screamed, you know, there'll be no pain in Jesus' name. I jerked it out and said, I worked all afternoon, hadn't had a pain once, said it's working perfect. The pastor, he said, sir, you've got to go get a tetanus shot. He said, no, I'm okay. He said, no. Everybody knows you got steel in your leg, in your knee. You don't want to have tetanus, so you've got to go get a tetanus shot. He said, but I'm okay. Jesus has already taken care of it. He's worked all afternoon with no problem. But the pastor said, I will not let you go from here unless you go, let me take you to the doctor and get a tetanus shot. Okay, so he said, okay, so they get in the car, and he said, does it hurt? And he said, no, it don't hurt a bit, hadn't hurt all day, all afternoon. He said, but you just got to have this tetanus shot. So he said, he carried me to the doctor, they took me in, and they stuck that needle in me to give that tetanus shot, and the minute that needle went in, he said, that thing inflamed and set me on fire. He said, I couldn't even walk. He'd worked all afternoon. Who had taken care of the pain?
Jesus.
Does he do good work?
Yes.
But he listened to the wrong doctor. He listened to, I'm going to say this, and Lord forgive me. He listened to a rotten preacher that didn't know the promises of God. And, you know, I think that we really don't know these promises. In other words, if he's already worked all day and had no pain whatsoever, why would we not believe it's already done? We've seen it done. Why? What is wrong with us? Now then, do y'all understand when that Cheryl, she read that scripture there in Matthew 17? What was it, Matthew 17, 20? Did you get down to that?
We're on 20 right now.
Okay, now then after we see what happened here, Cheryl's going to read what happens.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
If we only believe this book. If we only believe this book. Now the master, this Thurman Scrivener didn't make this statement. I'm quoting this from the master. And I should be on safe ground if I'm quoting what the master said, right? I should be on absolute true, solid rock. If Jesus says that if I believed, I could speak to a mountain, then if I believed, I should be able to say anything. Like, Lord, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. I have no pain in my body. My body ain't nothing wrong with my body. Lord, just the shaking of my hands is that anointing you're putting on me. And I know the day is coming in the very near future. And I'm going to lay these hands on people, wounded warriors, men that got their legs and things shot off over in Iraq and all those places. And you're going to give them brand new legs because you're putting a special anointing on me. So when that shaking hand touches one of those boys, you're going to do something so crazy that these boys are going to jump up and scream and run off with new legs and new arms. All I got to say, Lord, don't forget to call me the day you do that. I want to see it happen. Don't you want to see it happen? I guarantee whenever the Lord starts translating those men over here and puts them in here and says, there's one, Thurman, lay your hands on him. He didn't tell me. He told me when he showed me this about a year and a half ago, that this was coming to this church someday in the future. He told me I wouldn't have to pray for nobody. All I had to do was touch them. All I've got to do is touch them in the name of Jesus. And when I touch them, they're going to get healed. Isn't that going to be fun, friends, to see that? Me too. But he can do it, can't he? It ain't no bigger thing for him to do that for those boys' legs. And it was the day he took that tumor out of your mouth, was it?
That's right.
That's how simple and easy it is. If we only believe. I mean, I didn't say this, did I, Tony? Jesus said that. If you believe and have faith with no doubt in your heart, you can speak to a mountain and there will be nothing impossible with you. Is that what he said? So if there's nothing impossible with us, that scripture in Mark 11:23 all of a sudden becomes very, very important. Mark 11:23 says, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you're going to have it. I'm healed in Jesus' name, right? I'm healed in Jesus' name. I don't care if I got shaking hands. That don't seem to have nothing to do with it at this point. But it looks like in the near future that may be something. And when these hands get so anointed that I can just point them at you and all of a sudden you just blow, I mean, you just get healed. Just all I got to do is point at you with those shaking hands. And that whenever I do, you're going to get healed. Isn't that going to be something? What can God do?
Anything.
So, am I healed? Yes, I am. Don't worry about me. Read the word. One lady called me the other day. She said, Pastor, I couldn't concentrate on what you were saying because your hands were shaking. So I wrote back and told her, don't worry about my shaking hands. Concentrate on the word of God. You know, is that right?
Yeah.
Don't concentrate on me. Concentrate on what I'm saying. Concentrate on the word of God. Jesus will not lead you astray, but you're going to have to be careful. Because I guarantee, just like that preacher, that Eric, this good friend of mine, name was Eric, that had that knee, that he shot the knee in, and whenever that pastor told him he had to have that shot, I believe he told me it was 3 days he had excruciating pain in that knee before it finally quit hurting. But when he got hit in the knee, he's a great man of faith. But whenever he fall back there and said, Lord, I have no pain, and jerked that nail out and throwed it away and said, I have no pain, I'm healed in Jesus' name, he got up and went back to work. Got up and went back to work. Somebody says, you know, I couldn't do it if I shot a nail. In fact, my dad was with me one day when we were building, adding on to the house down where he lived. And I had a nail gun. And I leaned it over and I was bam, 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 going along shooting them nails, and I hit a knot. And I hit a knot when I did, the nail went right down the board, and I was this way going this way like this, and that nail went through, and right where my knee was bolted, right there in the curve of my knee, that nail went in one side, went underneath the pants, through the skin, and came out on the other side. I fell back over like this, and I said, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And Dad looked at me, and he said, oh, God, son, you've ruined yourself. I said, no, I haven't, Dad. I shot a knee, but I grabbed that thing, and I pulled it out, and it went through the skin, under the skin, right over the knee. And when I pulled my britches leg up and looked, right where that curve is in your knee, where the two balls are there, that nail went through the flesh right between those two balls.
Wow.
But just think. I mean, all I did was say, Lord, thank you. I have no pain. And I got up and threw the nail away and went back to work. Never had another problem. Shot that nail plumb through there. But Eric shot his in through the kneecap. It went in straight in, the full 2.5 inches long, or about 2 1/8 inches long, went in there. Mine, I was using 16s, and ours was 3 inches long, but it went through all of that, and I took it out and claimed the promises of God. Does God's word work? One more time. If we believe what he said in Matthew 17:20, what is impossible with us? We cut ourselves short, do we not?
Yes.
Really cut ourselves short, don't we, Nate?
Yes.
Way short. We're sons of God, children of God. Okay, we're going to have communion today, so I'm going to ask the people if they'll go pass out the communion. And again, while they're passing this out, we invite you to take communion with us, because this is a picture of showing what has been done for you on the cross. The body was bruised for you, and the blood paid the price for your sin. So I'm healed, and I'm saved because of what he did on that cross. Now then, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're set free? In the name of Jesus. You know, I think about that time when I was having, one time not too long ago, I was having trouble. And there was one of the ladies that was here. I can't think of her name now. But anyway, I got to where I just couldn't talk. So I stopped, and I looked over, and Mike was sitting right over there with his wife. I said, Mike, will you please come over and pray for me so I can talk? And so he got up and he came over here and laid hands on me and prayed and rebuked the spirit and everything and prayed the prayer of faith for me. And he went and sat down and I opened my mouth. And from that moment to the rest of the day, it was over. I spoke perfect and clear. And that lady come to me after it's over. She said, "Thurman, if that's not a demonstration of the prayer or prayer, I never saw it in my life." She said, "Mike, you couldn't hardly talk at all, and Mike prayed for you, and as soon as he walked away and sat down, everything you said from then till now has been perfectly clear and sharp." Does God show up in a church where we're doing what he says? Yes, he does. And aren't you glad you know him? I am so grateful that I know him. I'm grateful that he's our God and our Lord, and that there's nothing impossible with our King. He is the King of Kings, and I'm waiting and looking for that great anointing. And when the anointing comes, in fact, one of the young men handed me, y'all all know I used to be a jet pilot, but I hadn't been able to fly in a while, a couple of years. So a man handed me this a while ago. He said, "I thought you might like this." I thought, "Well, Lord, are you trying to tell me this is my next airplane?" Because that may be what this is.
Gulfstream G600? Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheryl says, "The only thing I want to know is my seat, does it lay completely back?" And is the bathroom right back? Oh, goodness, praise the Lord. It's wonderful flying an airplane. If you've never flown an airplane, you might not have any, you might not like it at all. I don't know. But I love flying airplanes. Tony, don't you like flying? Tony, he was a fighter pilot in the, back in the, oh, were you in Iraq or Iran?
I missed all that.
Oh, you missed all that?
Before that.
Oh, yes, before that.
Right.
Okay, so where were you, where are you at flying in? What part of the world?
A little bit of the
Mediterranean. Oh, just all over the Mediterranean? Okay. Isn't it amazing how quick you can get around in one of those fighters? Yeah, those things. He told me a story one time about where some Russians was coming along, and him and a buddy, I think one of them come in on one end, one the other, and it went right over the, about 30 feet off the deck of that Russian. And he said, when they looked back down, of course, I think they're going about 600 or something like that. They looked back down, and those Russian guys have got their head fist up. You know, they weren't too happy. Doesn't that sound just like a bunch of boys? It's amazing what you can see God do and the fun you can have in some of the equipment that he's built. He's given us knowledge. When he said in the last days, knowledge shall increase greatly, and it has. I mean, to think that 100 years ago, there was virtually, just barely aviation. I guess 127 or 830 years ago, there was no airplanes. None whatsoever. And now then, look what we got. Look how we can go to the moon and to the planets and all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, this has been fun living this time to see Jesus do the great and awesome things he does. I mean, what a time to live. We're ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, if we take this bread, a symbol of our healing, and we thank you that you healed us on the cross and it's already done. Since you've done it, we receive it. Now, Lord, thank you for my complete healing from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, making me whole in Jesus' name. Amen. And we eat the bread. And then the blood. We drink his blood, the most powerful thing in the universe. A drop of that blood can wash and cleanse every human being on the earth, clean and pure. Just one drop. Ain't that something? I mean, it cleans you and me up and made us whole. Made us where we're just like Jesus. We're perfect. We are righteous because he made us righteous. And he did it with this blood. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? I am so grateful, Lord. So grateful that we know you as our Lord and our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. We are so grateful, Master. We just can't tell you how much we love you and praise you and worship you, Lord, for saving us, healing us, delivering us, and making us whole. Thank you for all the provisions and everything you've given us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty. Thank you for taking care of us. Send us out this week somewhere, Lord, to do something great for your kingdom. We don't care where you send us, but just somewhere. Just let us be used of you for your glory. Let us, everything we do, bless your people and bless you and bless those around us. Let us just do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And Lord, give us that anointing. Put that anointing upon every one of us that we can go and do things, and where we, what we do for the kingdom of God will have a, it will have an impact all over the world. Let us do things great for the kingdom of God. I don't want to just be a normal person to you. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian full of the Holy Ghost and power. I want to bring people into the kingdom and get them saved. I want to lay hands on people and see God heal them. I want to pray for children. I got a letter or an email this morning about somebody that called me and said that I'd prayed for their Down syndrome child. And the child's doing better and getting better all the time. So I just told them, keep believing and that child will be completely supernaturally normal. What can our God do? Anything. There's nothing hard for him. Don't you ever put a limit on Jesus Christ. He can do anything. Father, we thank you for it. Now bless everybody in Jesus' name.